All right. Good morning.
Good morning.
So we are working with, if you've just joined us, the Ten Commandments, all right? And we're calling them the Prosperity Ten Commandments. And you know, as I said last week, the first four commandments had to do with our relationship with God. How do we relate to God? But the second six commandments have to do with our relationship with each other. And again, as I said last week, the concept being if we do not develop a relationship with God, we're going to have a hard time developing a relationship with each other, okay? And God being not an anthropomorphic being up in the sky, but a consciousness in which we, as Paul said, we live and breathe and have our being, all right? So this is the fifth commandment, which is the first commandment of the second six that have to do with our understanding our relationship with each other. And, you know, I realize if you've, especially if you listen to the first four, that these, we're not looking at these commandments on a surface level as they were given to us. In other words, remember, again, I'll say this for new people, when Moses came down off of Mount Sinai and he had the Ten Commandments, this is the inspiration he received from God at the highest level. But when he looked down and saw the people, you know, partying and listening to rap music and eating barbecue, you know, he's like, well, these folks, they can't get this the way I got it. So in the scripture says he threw them and he broke them, threw them down and he broke them. What that meant metaphysically, he was breaking them down to a level at which the people could understand them, okay? So today we're going to say, honor thy father and thy mother, right? We know the one, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, and so forth. So we understand that at a moral surface level. But as Alice Bailey, you've heard me say so many times, Alice Bailey explained to us, there are seven levels of meaning to the scriptures in the Bible. We mostly, as Christians, have been dealing with the first level, okay? Even, and this is, I'm getting off track a little bit because this is something I read just before I went to bed last night by Richard Rohr, thank you, who is a Franciscan priest. He was saying that we took Jesus out of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, or God, Christ, Holy Spirit. And we took the Christ, put it into the form of Jesus, taking him out of the Trinity. We had to put Jesus back into the Trinity as the Christ and not the man. And that's why he says, don't call me good, because only my Father in heaven is good. You get what I'm saying? All right? So conceptually, as we go through these scriptures, we're really moving to the second level. Don't ask me about the third level because I don't know what that is yet. All right? But we're moving to the second level. The second level challenges every fiber of our being. It challenges every fiber of our ego, every fiber of our perception of what we think the world is and how it should be. So as you listen to this, especially this one about honor thy father and thy mother, you're going to hear it from a whole different perspective. And it is, like I said, it's going to challenge where we have been. So the fifth commandment that was given to Moses is honor thy father and thy mother, that their days may be long upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Right now, remember, we're also looking at these as prosperity commandments, which would be if we took that same one, thou shalt deal honorably with God and with all human channels through which God is seeking to express. Now, let me say it again. Thou shalt deal honorably with God and with all human channels through which God is seeking to express. So basically, we are the human channel through which God is seeking to express. God cannot do anything for us that we do not allow God to do through us, okay? So the scope of this commandment obviously has to do with family. And when we're dealing with family, I think we all have experience of forgiveness, or specifically being forgiving is a huge part of the family experience. Am I right? Okay. But in addition, we will learn from this lesson that from a spiritual perspective, the idea of family has a much broader meaning. All right. So the dictionary says a family consists of all those persons considered as descendants of common parents. So often there's a tendency to limit our perception of family to members, you know, to whom we feel we're commonly related, okay? But the dictionary uses the word prototype. to describe family. So a prototype is an archetype, model, or original from which others receive their qualities or characteristics. So some of us could look at our lives and say, the way I am now didn't necessarily come from my father or my mother, it came from, yeah, you see what I'm saying? So it's more like the family is more like a prototype. So even though, you know, our family perspectives, you know, we have a tendency to confine them to a very limited scope, you know, we need to look at it at a much broader perspective. Now, Jesus spoke to this specifically in the lessons he taught about the extended family in Matthew 12, 48 through 50. He said, talking to his disciples, he said, who is my mother and my father? Because they said to him, your mother and your brothers are waiting to talk to you. And so he said, well, who is my father and my mother? Who is my brothers and my sisters? And then stretching out his hands to his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother, sister, and mother. Now, let me just read that last part because it's a kind of a entry to the deeper understanding. He says, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother, my sister, my mother. And in Matthew 6, 9, when Jesus taught us how to pray, he said what? Our Father, not my Father, but our Father. And all of these teachings indicate that family encompasses so much more than the limited few that we typically think of as being in our family. Especially this last teaching, our family would indicate a father or archetype to which all of us have a common right. Okay? Now, let's look at the limited few we usually call family. It's, you know, father, mother, sister, brother, husband, wife, children, aunts, uncles, cousins, grandparents, and some of us great-grandparents. You know, it just goes on and on. But we look at those, that's how we kind of describe the idea of family, because these people had a tremendous impact on how we are today. All right? Now, to explain this, think of your life as a series of concentric circles. All right? Concentric meaning it starts small and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger as it goes out. Right, so if you think of it as a series of concentric circles, it is only when you learn the principles of unconditional love in the smallest circle that you are able to develop standards of right action to guide you to develop relationships as the spiral gets bigger and bigger. In other words, if you can't develop this idea of unconditional love in your immediate family, as you expand out and your circle gets bigger, you're going to have a hard time doing it there as well, okay? So all of this leads us to the idea that we all are from one family, the family of God, and it is the goal of our spiritual development to learn how to deal honorably with God and with all human channels through which God is seeking to express. Remember, we are the eachness of the allness, the individual expression of the God idea. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. If we look in some of the, and I'm repeating this for people who might be hearing this for the first time, if we look at some of the other traditions, like in India and so forth, and they talk about the idea that, you know, or what I said to you before was God said, I'm omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. And then God says to himself, well, how can I be omniscient, all-knowing, if I don't know what it is to not be God? And so God is having the experience of being Nancy and Pamela and Sam and Sophie and so forth. So we're all the instrument through which God is experiencing being human. Okay? So we are the channel. Our work is to be the channel to let God express through us. Not knowing that, we developed an ego. And E-O, ease God out, okay? So that's the dynamic. That's the part I'm saying, you have to let yourself slip to another level to be able to embrace that idea, okay? So, you know, if we further explain this commandment, Jesus talked to the Pharisees, he said this. He says in Matthew 22, 37 through 40, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and in some some instances, all your strength, okay? This is the great and first commandment. Now, he's answering the Pharisees, actually the Pharisee lawyers, or the scribes were the lawyers of the time, and he's answering them. They said, well, Master, what is the great commandment? He said, well, and really he's quoting the Old Testament. He's quoting what the Jews have said it is. He said, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the laws and the prophets, right? And they answered him and said, well, yes, you're right. That is what we consider to be the great commandments. So this commandment is speaking to the idea of life as a series of concentric circles spiraling outward to encompass an ever-expanding realization of a connection to a family that's significantly broader than anything that we have ever imagined. All right. So even if you say to yourself, well, you know, I consider my friends at work for part of my family. I consider my friends at the gym part of my family. I think the gym I go to, some of us has been there like 30, 35 years, you know, together. So, yes, that's your part of your family. You think about it. But expand even further than that. All right. And to let your mind go to that. So according to the dictionary, neighbor is one's fellow human being. Not the person who lives next door. Right? But you're fellow human beings, okay? And this encompasses the entire human race. And according to Jesus' prayer, we all come from one common progenitor. Did I say that right, April? Okay. Or progenitor, that's how you say it. I went to the dictionary, Google, and I said, how do you pronounce this word, all right? But progenitor. So God, of whom we are made in the same image and likeness in spiritual mind and spiritual body. There's one common origin from which we all come. Now, it says that right in Genesis. Let us make mankind in our after our image and after our likeness. Our. You ever wonder why it says our? It's talking about the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Okay? So we are made in that image and likeness. So this means we come from one common Father, Mother, spiritual energy source, which reinforces the true statement, God is a source of my supply. Okay? Or to apply it more specifically to this case, we would state, God is a source from which I am supplied with life, love, wisdom, strength, divine understanding, and so forth. All right? So all the love that I give is not really coming from me, it's coming where? Through me. The life that I have is coming through me, all right? So it's like every time you take a breath, you should say, thank God. Because you're breathing that life. It's like Horace, I don't think he's here today, when we say, it's good to see you. And he says, well, it's better to be seen than to be viewed. You know, right? Right? So, but that life that we have, we woke up this morning and we were full of life, right? Now, this means we come from, again, one Father, Mother, God. God is, God is a source from which we get all that we have. Now, so to repeat, one of the keys to this commandment is that if we have not learned how to love in the smallest of the concentric circles of life, we will find it difficult, if not impossible, to love in the larger circles that follow, okay? Now, I'm hoping you're following me where this is really going. So the fifth commandment says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth, which is the Lord thy God, with the Lord thy God has given thee. That's Exodus 20:12. However, from the perspective of this lesson, we're interpreting this commandment as, thou shalt deal honorably with God, and with all of God's channels through which God is seeking to express. So when you watch the news and you hear some of those people making statements you just want to jump on, you have to realize that that is a channel. We are all expressing the Christ to the best of our present understanding. Okay? So this means we have to honor the good, meaning the God, in all human beings. And yes, with the perceived evil we are seeing in the world today, that sounds like an impossible task. We were on vacation last week, and Pam read this. I don't know where you read this from, but she says, as aliens are, you know, going about their business, flying through, you know, when they pass by the earth, they roll their windows up. But think about the greeting, the Christ in me beholds the Christ in you. Okay. Every time you come pass by another human being, just have that in your consciousness. The Christ in me beholds the Christ in you. Now, the purpose of this greeting is to get to a place in consciousness where we can transcend the quirks of the personalities of each of us that keep us from seeing the Christ in each other, all right, and get to that place where we can behold that Christ regardless of what the persona is expressing. And remember, persona, P-E-R, means mask, and sana means mask through which we make a sound. And we all have these personas that we constantly are putting on and acting through. But it's being able to know that behind that persona is the Christ. Okay? So just think about how you react when you see or hear about, and let me just say, I'll go back for a minute, that the idea of the purpose of being is to raise our consciousness to a point where we contribute, that contributes to this lack of kindness and compassion that we see in the world. Scripture calls this lack of kindness and compassion evil. All right? Now, think about how we react when you see or hear evil occurring in the world. Do you stop and send out a prayer, or do you typically add your own evil in the form of your own negative, judgmental, fearful opinions about what is happening? All right? It's just like you ever, when you're on a highway and, you know, you're stuck in traffic. And then when you get up to what happened, you see that somebody had an accident. And, you know, do you share your feelings of love and compassion and hopefully that everything is okay? Or are you upset for the fact that you were stuck in traffic because it went on? See, that's the whole dynamics, the whole rethinking of how we react and respond in the world. So, yes, it is difficult when we hear about some of the tragedies occurring in the world. I'm not saying this is easy, all right? It causes us, you know, to have a hard time working with the healing light of God with some of the stuff that we have here and going on in the world, especially when it's so much easier and natural to feel sorry for the victim and anger towards the perpetrator. You know, that's our natural thing, you know? Yeah, just destroy the person who, or the group or whatever that's creating that. That's why I say these lessons are not easy. The new thought path is not easy. It forces you to be at a whole different level. If you have not read the book it went right out of my head, where it talks about St. Francis of Assisi was trying to get to the sultan of the group that they're fighting, and when he got captured, the soldiers that captured him, they were so struck by how much love emitted from him that they didn't want him to get to the sultan. You get what I'm saying? Because if he had gotten to the sultan, then the sultan would be like, oh, this war is crazy. All right? In other words, he had so much love in him that the enemy, just by being in his presence, changed their whole perspective about why they were fighting. That's a whole nother mindset. That's level 7. That's the Christ. You get what I'm saying? And if we look at that and go, yeah, no way, then we know we're stuck at level 1. At least if you know you're stuck at level 1, you're aware. Because if you will not try to wake up if you don't even know you're asleep. And that's the whole key. I told Pam I had a dream the other night where in the dream, some stuff was going on. I go, this is a dream. I'm in a dream. I am in a dream. Has everybody had that happen? Where, you know, the stuff is going on, you said, oh, I know this ain't real. This is a dream, right? So, you know, if you get to a point in this left space of consciousness where you can say, this has got to be a dream, because I am not coming from the Christ. I'm not coming from love. I'm not coming from compassion. I'm coming from this old crap that I always come from. And if you at least can be aware of that, then it can start the process of you moving to a different space. So even within our own personal family experiences, there are many who may not have had good memories or good relationships with their father or mother, you know, making it difficult to follow this commandment. Now, so we know that, right? We know that not everybody grew up, Glenn Mosley, we were talking Unity, there's so much dysfunction going on in Unity. And so Glenn Mosley was the head of, at that time, AUC, Association of Unity Churches. And he says, I apologize. He says, I came from a good family. I love my mother and my father. Right? And he was making a joke out of it, because so many people have struggled, you know, in those areas. So I understand that in listening to this, honor thy father and thy mother, there may have been situations that make that difficult. This is one of the reasons why many people do not like to hear God called Father. All right. However, if we're going to follow the spiritual path, it is imperative that we eventually loose and let go of all unforgiving thoughts, all thoughts that contribute to the evil we have witnessed or experienced. You heard that, right? That's the challenge. That is the challenge. Now, in the book, The Journey Home, and how many people in the book club are reading that? We got a book club that's reading that somewhere. Okay. You finished? Oh, last month. Okay. So the book Journey Home by Kryon. Okay. And again, for those who do not know who Kryon is a spiritual being who channels through Lee Carroll. All right. And to give a little bit of credibility to it, the UN has invited Lee Carroll 3 times to channel Kryon, because Kryon has told them about world events that were going to happen that they were able to deal with ahead of time. So anyway, with Kryon, you know, in this book, this is a really fun book. Am I right, Diane? The Journey Home. It's a parable about this character named Michael Thomas. And the angel is training him. And this is what the angel says to him. Actually, was it 7 angels or 12 angels? 7, okay. So he says, you cannot move forward on the spiritual path while carrying old energy. You cannot embrace any part of the old energy and move forward into the new consciousness. Why? Because the physics of the old will not mix with the physics of the new. Old memorabilia simply draws you backward to a time when you could not understand the power of forgiveness, the power of prayer, the power of tithing, and all of the other spiritual things that a person of faith does to move forward to a closer relationship with God. I love that. The old physics cannot mix with the new physics. And this is just another way of saying what we've always said: you cannot become enlightened while remaining as you are. And that's what so many of us try to do. You know, I've read the books, I've gone to the seminars, the workshops, I can speak the language. But really, I'm the same old me. All right, with just this knowledge. So as the angel said to Michael, Thomas, I'm going to repeat, the physics of the old will not mix with the physics of the new. Or as written in Matthew 9:17, Mark 2:22, and Luke 5:27, no one puts new wine into old wineskins. Why? Because the new wine will burst the skins and the wine will be lost along with the skins. Now, if you take that psychologically, if you try to put new knowledge into your existing mind and you don't let that change you, you get it, right? You have got to let that information change who you are. Now, forgiveness creates new wineskins. So you say, well, how do I get a new mind? Through the power of forgiveness. Forgiveness creates new wineskins, a new consciousness, a new physics. Forgiveness causes a radical shift in consciousness, causing us to awaken to a greater awareness of the spiritual value of being forgiving. So what happens when you truly forgive, you all of a sudden wake up and get why it was so important to let go and let God. You get it, right? So Georgiana Tree West, and Georgiana Tree West is the one who wrote the book that a lot of this is coming from. She says, spiritually awakened people see their earthly mothers and fathers as the human instrument through which God's law has worked to provide them with a physical body to serve God as they go about the business of living God's life on earth. Let me say that again, okay? So spiritually awakened people see their earthly mothers and fathers as the human instruments through which God's law has worked to provide them with a physical body to serve God as they go about the business of living God's life here on earth. So what was your mother and father's purpose? To give you a physical body that could be filled with God so that God could do God's work here on earth. So every one of us here in the room and listening on the internet have to realize that I am an instrument for God. That is my purpose for being here. I'm an instrument for God. I am an instrument for good, for that to work through me. And it goes on, as Jesus expressed about to his father and mother, because his father and mother came to him. He's 12 years old, and he's in the temple. And we're looking for him. And he says, where have you been? We've been looking for him. And he says, did you not know that I must be about my father's business? You get it? He understood that that was his purpose. This would be an instrument through which God could work. All right. And so, you know, whether or not your relationship with your father and or mother was good or not so good, their main job from a cosmic perspective was to be the human instrument through which God's law has worked to provide you with a physical body to serve God as you go about the business of living God's life here on earth. So you've got to honor that, all right? Now, and for what that may, for that to be accomplished, it is a law that you start by honoring your father and mother. Why? So that the days of your life will be long, healthy, and happy and prosperous in the life experience that the Lord your God has given you. So when the things that we struggle with in life, there may be a root of unforgiveness that is causing these things to happen. All right? So if you often experience a sense of deep-seated anger, fear, or feeling of easily becoming upset, you know, think about it. You know, little things upset you, or you jump at him and say, what? And then you blame it on what's happening right here and what's now, this person, this thing, and it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with this deep-seated dynamic that's going on inside of you. You have to ask yourself, who am I really angry or upset with? Who am I not forgiving? You get it? The next time you feel yourself in that situation, say, who am I really upset with? Who am I not forgiving? All right? And if you can think of who it is or what it's really all about, then become still and do the prayer work necessary to let go of your unloving, unforgiving thoughts so that you can heal and become at peace with yourself. Okay? And it won't be easy. But when we're harboring negative thoughts about others or even about ourselves, we are not dealing honorably with God, nor are we dealing honorably with the human channels through which God is seeking to bring prosperity, healing, and great joy into our lives. But let me say the first part. When we feel ourselves getting upset, we're not dealing honorably with God. We're not letting ourselves stay an open instrument through which that dynamic that God is can work. Now, Thomas Aquinas, the great Italian theologian of the 13th century, he explains, if you're unable to be grateful for the physical life bestowed by our parents, we are consequently unable to be grateful for the spiritual life bestowed by God. Okay? And he says in his book, Thomas Aquinas' book, The Commandments of God, he says, the natural life is nothing as compared to the life of grace, all right? If you can fail to acknowledge, if you fail to acknowledge the blessings of the natural life which you owe to your parents, You are unworthy of the life of grace, which is greater, and still more unworthy of the life of glory, which is the greatest of all blessings. Think about that. No matter what has happened, and that was a question that I talked about with some of the folks who read the book, The Journey Home, about how can you forgive, you know, and we say what it is. How can you forgive that? And really, from a spiritual perspective, how can you not? All right? And so there's only one power in the universe. That power expresses itself as life, love, wisdom, faith, strength, and everything else that we feel is necessary for us to live a happy, prosperous, successful life. But we cannot fully experience these divine gifts if we're harboring unforgiving thoughts. Unforgiving thoughts drain our natural life and cloud our minds to the truth that God is the origin and source of all of us. So when we have these unforgiving thoughts, we're blind. We're not really seeing the truth. And, you know, we've seen that in each other. It's like say in your kids or whatever, you know, they're teenagers, right? And you're trying to tell them what life is all about. And they're like, nah, that's not what life is all about. Like they know, right? So it's a thing, it's sort of the same idea. Just like you might speak to your kids and say, you have no clue yet as to what life is like, right? The universe is saying to us, you have no clue as to what life is really like, right? Because we are children, babies, when it comes to the spiritual life and really understand it. So just let me share this thought. If someone experienced physical or mental abuse from their parents as they were growing up, we're not saying that this was good in any form or fashion. Is everybody following me? Okay. But at this point in our lives, we're making a conscious decision to choose God or good as our way of life, the way of truth over the way of the human mind and emotions. We're choosing to let Jesus Christ be our guide and way shower. All right. So you ever hear me on the internet too? Stuff happened when you were growing up that's terrible. We're not saying that was good. We're saying, but where we are now, still not calling it good, but we're understanding at a different level, okay? So in the book, The Journey Home, it talks about how getting to the truth requires us to reach a state of consciousness that allows us to perceive the truth that lies outside of our duality, meaning a truth that lies outside of our perception that everything must fall into a category of being right or wrong, good or bad. That's what a dualistic mind is. A dualistic mind just can't be. It has to judge everything. And that is us. Okay? But we want to learn how to operate outside of that. So with every truly great endeavor, there will always be sacrifices that have to be made in order to accomplish our spiritual goal of enlightenment. For this lesson and this commandment, the sacrifice that we must make is that we must be willing to give up all unforgiving thoughts and emotions. And this is our great sacrifice, okay? So the question becomes, which is more important to you? To hold on to unforgiveness and the false sense of power that comes from being unforgiving so that you can remain as you are? Or do you truly desire enlightenment, which is a willingness to awaken to the truth of who you truly are, a spiritual being in Christ? You can't do both. You can't hold on to unforgiving thoughts, angry thoughts, and become enlightened at the same time. It just won't work. Remember, the old physics can't fit into the new physics. And to be clear, you must choose between the two because you can't serve both. And it says in scripture, Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. By sacrificing unforgiving thoughts, we free ourselves to experience the full capacity of divine love, the full capacity of divine love. So, and just think about that, because right now, holding on to unforgiving thoughts is like, we feel it is our right. Am I right? Okay. But do you want that right, or do you want to feel the full capacity of divine love? So you have to kind of make that choice. So unforgiving thoughts lead to unexplainable ailments. Unforgiving thoughts lead to unexplainable ailments of every kind and every aspect of our lives. This is because unforgiving thoughts keep us enslaved in our present way of thinking, believing, and being. But when we are willing to let go of all of our unforgiving thoughts, we experience tremendous good in so many ways in our life that we begin to call it a miracle. Okay? And again, the fifth commandment is, thou shalt deal honorably with God and with all human channels through which God is seeking to express. So the person you look at is getting your last nerve. Know that behind that mask, that persona, there's this divine being that's seeking to work through that person, okay? You being in this space of absolute love and compassion instigates or creates in that person a desire to let the mask down and the Christ come through. It's like George Stone. How many people still remember George Stone? Anybody? Okay. You know, George Stone, you know, the story I tell you about, they pull it, you know, he was in New York City, Manhattan, and he's getting ready to get in his car, and somebody came and pulled a knife on him and said, give me your wallet. And George turned around and said, friend, I love you. And the guy dropped his knife and ran. But that was George Stone. That was his energy. You get what I'm saying? His energy was so powerful that an attacker, like, why am I here? You know? That's what we're talking about, getting to that kind of a space, okay? And as Paul explained in Romans 12, 1 through 2, we must become willing to surrender all of ourselves to the whole truth that emanates from the center of our being. You get it? The whole truth that emanates, because we let a little bit of it through. That's why we do love each other. You follow me? We let a little bit of it through. But we're talking about being open to the whole truth that's coming through us. And finally, Ernest Holmes explains, we must come to know definitely and consistently that this whole truth that Paul speaks of is that the universe is for us and not against us. Amen.